Mr. Clarkson, reel 11.
By and large, if you had someone to do it for you, you could get a uniform without these bunches.
That's right, yes.
Under get the arms. Fit,
yes.
The one that fitted you, basically.
Yes. Oh, there was a lot of difference in the stuff that you were issued with and that were made. Now, actually, you couldn't get these things that we used to these vests of calico or twill or whatever they were. You couldn't get them through the Navy.
No.
Oh, no. The rig of the day, on Sundays, you had to put the proper rig on. Now, when you fell in for divisions on Sunday, and you remember the temperature was about 120 in the shade sometimes, but when you fell in for inspection, you had to have a navy flannel on. And those navy flannels, they used to say that they were made for anemic chief stokers. They'd fit an elephant. And the flannel was hot. And then on top of that, you had duck trousers, which after they'd been washed a few times, were as tight as a drum. And as we stood for inspection, there was a pool of sweat around everybody's feet. But that was the official rig,
number eight.
And you had to wear those on a Sunday. But otherwise, during the week, you just had shorts and socks or no socks at all, no shoes. I went barefooted for 10 months. I wore nothing, that's why I have corns now.
But that number eight was just for inspection. Once you could take it off and back into your own gear.
Oh, yes.
Once that was passed.
Yes, that's right. Because the officers were the same.
Yes, right. They would also have to get into there.
You more or less wore anything then.
Yeah.
But that was then.
And when you joined the Navy, of course, first of all, you were issued with all the gear.
Yeah.
Uniform and so on and so on. Did you, as you grew up a bit, after a few years, did they replace it for you? Did you replace it yourself eventually? Or if you had to, would the Navy replace it? Or did you get yours tailor-made by the Jew tailor?
Well, personally, I used to have mine made ashore.
Yeah, ashore?
Yes. Because the Navy cloth that fore-and-aft rig people wore, you could get it fairly cheap, and it took 3.5 yards to make a suit. And you went to the Navy tailor and was measured there, and it cost you about £2.15.
But if you had got it from the Navy, would it have cost you that?
Yes.
You still have been charged for your uniform?
For the making of it, yes, about £2.15. Now, I used to go ashore to Hartley's, to a good tailor's, and buy a doeskin suit there for £8. And the difference was that suit would last me out three of the Navy ones, because they were shaped, they were fitted. But the Navy one, you couldn't roll around in it. It was just like a coal sack after you'd worn it a few times.
Yeah. But the Navy actually charged you for uniform, in fact. Did it charge you with your first uniform? Were you?
Oh, no.
No.
You were issued with your first uniform.
Right.
Then for that to be upkept, you had a slop room.
Right.
They called it a slop room. And every month you could put down for any slops you wanted. Of course, that would be towels, flannels,
socks,
underclothing, anything like that, you see. And you paid for that.
Oh, I see.
You didn't get an allowance for it, you paid for it. And it was a very good thing in a way, because I can remember the time when I was in a fore-and-aft rig. This was after the 1914 war was over. We were wearing collars. We had to wear starch collars, mind you. There were no laundry or anything like that in the ship. But those collars were tuppence each. Mm-hmm. So at the first of the month, you'd pick up so many collars, you wore them, and then you turned them inside out, and then you threw them away. They were so cheap. It wasn't expensive at all, not the clothing you picked up, but
What about inspections of clothing, and what about the Navy's attitude? I mean, would you, as a tradesman, be subjected to kit inspection?
Oh, yes.
Tell me about that.
Especially when frequently, not often, used to have an admiral's inspection. Mm-hmm. More so in peacetime, and of course in wartime. And then it was a sort of a spot check, say, right, that particular department, I will have a kit inspection for them. And they all had to lay their kit out. And everything had to be just so. A lot of people usually get called on it. And another thing was the things that we used to make a type. Everybody was issued, when they joined the Navy, with a type, their name on it. Well, when there was a kit inspection on the US Patent, so you would borrow somebody else's clothes and stamp them with Blanco on the type, not paint. See, all tricks like that you used to...
And people were quite prepared to pass the gear around like that. If it was your day and you had maybe a lanyard or something that someone else didn't have, you could give it to him and...
You helped each other out, was if you knew who was going to be inspected.
Yeah. And if you were caught, let's say that you were caught on the hop.
Oh,
and
yes.
You were found to be short of...
Well, then it was... punishment was... More kit inspections. Every so often you'd have a kit inspection, you see.
They would just say replace that.
That's right. Make sure that you...
Mm. What about the actual condition of your gear? Would they have any...
Well, that was taken into consideration. They might say, holes in the socks. Put him down. That was the term. Put him down for another pair of socks. So they put him down and he had to pay for them, of course.
Sure. And all your kit you had to pay for, in fact...
Yes.
So you might as well get it made properly.
Yes, I'm sure you didn't have a kit allowance.
No, maybe not. Absolutely, it's quite possibly not, actually. No. What about the repairing of it? I mean, say you had a pair of socks that needed darning.
You darn them yourself. That is where the make and mend comes in. Once a week, it used to be normal to have a make and mend day, usually on a Wednesday. Okay. Well, of course, in the affluent days when the... things were easier to get and people had more money. All they used to do was sleep on a make and mend day. But the idea of it was for people to mend this. We used to do that. Darn your socks. Repair your flannels, your trousers and all that sort of thing. That was on a make and mend day and that was what it was for.
And what was the attitude of men to uniform, basically? Did men think that it was practical, or that it was a bit irrelevant, or that it did anything, or that...
No. I'm sure that they were proud of their uniform.
Yes?
They were. The trousers, for instance, it used to be 24 inches. But some of them would like to go up to about 36. The bigger, the better.
This sort of thing. There's a case again of styling your uniform to. Yeah. How much range did you have between the navy regulation?
Quite a bit. We generally used to add a couple of inches onto the 24 for trousers. The jumpers, they had to be, 12 inches from the top. Whatever they were, everybody used to like to go down a little bit further and have a plunge. And it did make a lot of difference to the appearance.
Yes, yes.
Now, if you look at, you see sometimes on a film, you'll see the sailors, and they look all bunched up here. But if they're cut down low enough, you get more of the collar rolling back, and it comes in more at the waist. Yes. It is much better.
And men actually did take pains to make themselves look good in the uniform. And
now that you had, number sixes, that was whites. There was no such things as electric irons. Now you had to wash that suit. If you went ashore in the white suit, it wasn't clean enough for inspection or to go ashore in the next time without washing. And you only had two suits. Some people only had one. And so you had to wash that and you mangled it. No iron. Now, to mangle it, every mess had just like a rolling pin and a bat, a piece of wood shaped like a bat. And so you rolled your trousers, for instance, they were done inside out. And then you rolled each leg up carefully on the rolling pin, and then you put this bat thing on and rolled it up and down the mess stool. See? Now, that took the creases out. And, of course, if you could do it just before it was actually dry, that was all the better. And then you'd done the same with the jumper, the collar, and then the sleeves separately. And if you looked at a sailor's suit, all the creases were inside and not out. And the trousers were then folded up, concertina fashion, like that. And the more concertina fashion it was, the better it was liked. Yes, it was.
And that was how you got the crease in the blue serge as well. You
had
seven. There was no irons. You did it the same way. You rolled it up.
How did you do it with
the serge?
You rolled it up. Not so much the serge. You folded that up inside out, concertina fashion. You see, that didn't really want mangling. You didn't mangle the serge. It was only the ducks.
Yes. I see. And that would be everybody, maybe two or three, a dozen of you at the one time in the bathroom doing this.
The mess stool, when you didn't have chairs or anything like that, the stool would be about 9 inches wide, I suppose, and you always go along there. Yes. When I was on the server, an engineer officer came along to me one day. He was a fellow that didn't have a lot of clothes. And he wasn't very particular in his dress. But he said to me, Chippy, he said, what about rolling out my suit? He was going ashore. And I showed him how to do it, and he'd done it successfully. I don't think anybody had an electric iron.
Probably unlikely, I would think. No one had even an old hot iron that you could heat up on the stove.
No, nothing like that. No, it was just the... And it was very successful.
And presumably the officers had theirs done by the stewards, in the same
yes.
way.
Yes. Well, then on this boarding steamer, then we had a Dobie Waller, you see, and they used to do the officers' washing.
Mm-hmm. But otherwise the men all did their own washing.
Yes.
And they had devised these tricks.
Yes, but the men done their own. We had a...
How did men? You know, it was an awkward uniform. The sailor's rig proper was an awkward, very tight vest and very tight top. How did they manage in these messes when they were all living close together on top of each other? What sort of problems did the uniform present? Getting it off and on, even just basically putting that vest over your head. How did you...
Well, very often, you'd have to get somebody else. Not always. It would depend on your build and...
Your uniform.
How big that was. But you'd get somebody else to pull it off.
Yes. But it must have been very awkward if you were in a hurry and, you know, you had to get to divisions or something.
Oh,
so
yes.
It must have been fretful.
And it was an awful thing when... I can remember... When we were down the Red Sea, the working rig then, in the first place, before things got a little bit lax and they realised that you were suffering with heat, the working rig, and that would be in normal climates, was a duck suit. The most idiotic affair that ever happened. And a duck suit, by the time we'd washed it a couple of times, it got tighter and tighter. And you had to work in that lot. And another thing, you see them now in nice duck caps. You didn't have a duck cap in those days, only anybody that had ever served on the China station. You were issued with two blue caps when you joined, and a couple of duck covers, which buttoned at the back. Awful looking things they were.